This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's tough to find a whole lot of good news out there about the Democratic Republic of Congo. The through line is that it's a place rich in resources but plagued by corruption and violence, especially since the Congolese civil wars that started back in 1996. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour is just back from 2 weeks in eastern Congo reporting stories of economic rebuilding there. Hey, Sabri.
Hey, Kai.
Tell me why you were there, first of all.
You know, the Congo is an extraordinary and tragic place. It is a place that is sitting on $24 trillion worth of mineral wealth, and yet it ranks next to last on the planet in terms of human development. And a lot of attention was paid to this place two decades ago, when it was being ripped apart in one of the bloodiest conflicts since World War II. That was when Rwanda's genocide just spilled over into eastern Congo. You know, we heard about mass rapes. We heard about conflict minerals. We heard about armed rebels marauding through the jungle. Well, why not take a look now when things are somewhat stabilizing and see how people are putting themselves back together?
Give me this sneak peek then. Give me a little preview of what you saw.
You know, we talked to some folks who were caught up in armed conflict as children. They, you know, wandered the forest as kids with rebel groups. We're hearing how they're putting their lives back together or not. We're looking at businesses trying to grow. You know, an economy is like a mirror. It's really easy to smash it. It's hard to put it back together. So, you know, if you're trying to rebuild a coffee industry, you need all kinds of financing incentives and loans and people trusting one another to pass their goods on. And it's a very complex sort of thing that you can't just wave a magic wand and make happen again. So the process of reconstructing an economy is an interesting one that we took a look at.
We should probably say that you have been to Congo before 2008, right?
Yes.
Okay, so do the compare and contrast for me. I mean, here we are 6 years later. What has changed, if anything?
Well, when I was there, it was in the middle of what everyone thought was going to be a successful rebel invasion of the capital city there. And it was an utter ghost town. They were people either fleeing for their lives through town, or they were people, you know, burning tires in protest.
Yeah. And this is Goma, right? The capital city.
This is Goma, yeah. You know, a lot of fields were bare. But the Goma I saw this time around and the fields around it, the areas around it, they were bustling. They were full of life. The streets are full of motorcycle taxis. There are some impressive new construction. But I will say that said, it still bears a lot of scars.
Not to make it all about us, Sabri, but Congo is far, far away from this country. Make some connections for me, would you?
We are more closely linked than you would think. They use American dollars there. Hmm. Our monetary policy affects them, for starters. Our laws affect them. When we tried to eradicate conflict minerals, we had a huge impact on their industry. And I don't think we knew that was going to happen at the time. The U.S. as a consumer also is one of the potential drivers for recovery of this area. I mean, to the extent that we buy cocoa or whatever other products from this area, we have a power to this place that we don't maybe recognize. And lastly, I mean, all of our cell phones have minerals that could well have come from this part of the world.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishour from our New York Bureau. His stories from the Congo start tomorrow. Sabri, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kai.